As a first speaker, we have Oscar, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Okay. So it seems this mic is working. That's great. Hey, everybody. Thanks, Max, for the introduction. And yeah, let's get started. I'm here to talk with you about the fast and the spurious, which is what I've kind of called the various congestion control features that we've been experimenting with for Firefox's QuickStack. As Max said, I'm Oscar. I'm a working student on Firefox's networking team, and over like the last 10 to 12 months, I've mostly been focusing on Quick and on congestion control. So yeah, first of all, let's have a very short primer what congestion control even is, so we're kind of all on the same page. Inherently, congestion control is trying to solve the problem that if everybody on the internet would be sending as many packets as they could, just to get their stuff out quickly, all the routers would get congested and we would have packet loss and basically the internet would stop working. So what congestion control is doing is trying to algorithmically find the ideal send rate without having any knowledge about the actual path and about who else is on this path and is sending data. And one such algorithm is Cubic, which is what NECU implements. NECU is Firefox's quick stack. And Cubic works with an additive increase and multiplicative decrease approach. Let's quickly look at that. If we look at this graph, we can see that here the congestion window, that is the allowed send rate, is over time slowly additively increasing until it is at a point where we're actually congested and we experience packet loss, and then we have a congestion event and we multiplicatively decrease the allowed window again. And with that, we get kind of this zigzag pattern that you're seeing that homes in on the ideal send rate, ideally. And one more building block of congestion control that I want to quickly mention is slow start, and for that we're going to zoom in on the very start of the connection, and that is this exponential ramp up at the beginning of the connection, so we're kind of quickly getting up to the available bandwidth and not just like very slowly ramping up. So the name is kind of funny, but yeah, that's slow start. Having said that, and now we're all on the same page, I want to give a very quick shout out to QWIS, which is an amazing open source web-based visualization tool for Quick. And for example, all of my congestion window plots that you see here are basically just screen grabs from QWIS. And so if you're working with Quick and you haven't checked out QWIS yet, you should. I encourage you to take a look. With that, let's get into the first feature. And that is spurious congestion event recovery. So let's unpack what that means. And to do that, I want to go back with you to FOSDEM 2024, where Manuel, I'm not sure if he's in the room, but where Manuel, who back then worked at Firefox Networking, held a talk about H3 upload speed in Firefox, and he showed this graph, and he said something along the lines of packet reordering causes too many congestion events. When he was talking about stuff that we are yet to more thoroughly look into. Ah, there is Manuel. So yeah, let's further zoom into this graph to understand what that means. So here, all those orange dots are X that are coming in for packets. And here we see this reordering. So those four green dots, we didn't get an egg back for them, but we did get an egg for packets that were sent later, so we are deeming those as lost. But then, just a few milliseconds after, we're seeing we actually do get the egg back for them. So this was just a packet reordering, and this loss was spurious. The problem with spurious loss is that it does lead to spurious congestion events. So the congestion controller treats the spurious loss just as a treats any other loss, and our send window is reduced. And this is happening despite the spurious loss, of course, not being any indicator for real congestion happening somewhere on the path. So yeah, if this happens more often, then this can, of course, like heavily degrade performance and is of course also completely unnecessary because it was just a packet reorder. Luckily, the cubic RFC also suggests a mechanism for both detecting those and for recovering from those spurious congestion events. And so at first we implemented the detection logic because we wanted to get a feel for how often we actually see this in the wild. And if it's actually like if this never actually happens on real connections, there's no need to care about it basically. But 5% of connections actually do see those spurious congestion events, and we found out that those that see them see quite a lot of them. So heavily degraded performance for up to 5% of connections, that doesn't sound good. And so we implemented the recovery mechanism, and this is actually now merged, I think, this Monday with the latest Necure release into Firefox Nightly. So let's take a look at some measurements and take a look how this actually works. Before we do that, fun fact, my home Wi-Fi is one of those lucky 5%. Lucky because this was a great testing ground for implementing this. And so all those measurements that you're seeing have actually been made sitting at my kitchen table in Berlin. So first off, this is kind of like the healthy connection. So no spurious congestion events happened, and we have a 7-second completion time for a 50 megabyte upload. My Wi-Fi is also slow, but let's not get into that. But yeah, this is kind of the healthy connection. We can see that in the beginning of the connection, the violet graph, we have the ramp up of slow start, and yeah, this is how it's supposed to look like. Now this is how it looks like with spurious congestion events. So we have a 13-second completion time, almost taking twice as long. That's of course not very good. And if we look at the graph, then we understand why, because there never was a slow start phase. Again, if we look at the healthy one, we have this ramp up in the beginning. Here, apparently there was a spurious loss right in the beginning of the connection. We exited slow start, never ramped up. We're never getting up to the proper bandwidth. And throughout the whole connection, we never have actual loss. Like, we never have actual congestion. We're never actually touching the bandwidth that we're supposed to use. And then this is how it looks like with the recovery patch. We're back at 7-second completion time, and if we look at the graph side by side, the healthy one and this one, we see that they're kind of looking almost the same. And so it can be said that with this recovery patch, we were able to basically completely avert this performance degradation, at least in my home network. And if we zoom in further, we can kind of see how this recovery works in action. If you look at where the arrows point at, you can see this dip in the congestion window. For example, I think it's best seen on the one on the right. We have a congestion event, we reduce the send window, and then after just a few milliseconds, we see, this was spurious, and we basically just restore the state as it was prior to the congestion event. So yeah, we have this pretty strong anecdotal evidence for measurements, and we also have some signal from CI simulations and benchmarks. But the question is, what about real-world data? It would be really nice to be able to say, we're also seeing that this is actually impacting our users. We can prove that with data. The problem is the higher-level metrics, like throughput, for example, are very noisy for changes like that because Firefox has such vastly different environments. So like all the different Firefox installations and all of their network environments, that's a huge melting pot. And it's very hard to see any signal through that, especially if, like in this change, we're only changing something for a smaller subset of users, in this case, those 5% of connections. Even though I think this change is quite impactful for connections that have packet reordering, it's very hard to actually prove that with telemetry data, which I think is a shame. But having said that, let's move on to the next feature, which is called alternative backoff with ECN. To understand that, let's first have a quick primer. What is ECN? So explicit congestion notification. The idea is basically that right now how our congestion controller works, we have to have loss. It's kind of part of the design. But loss is not good, like we ideally wouldn't want to have loss. So ECN is a mechanism for having a signal to adjust the send rate without relying on packet loss as a signal. And that's basically working through the middle boxes, like for example a router, and notifying the sender, Firefox in this case, if a queue starts building up and if congestion might happen soon, so that the sender can react. But this also means that the path, the whole network path, has to be capable of both marking, like notifying, and also passing along the signal and not stripping it. So the internet kind of has to play along for this to work. For that, let's look at the state of ECN right now. And before we talk about this graph, just a very quick disclaimer, because this is the first time that we're now actually looking at Firefox telemetry and, so to say, real-world user data. That, of course, all the data that we do collect for Firefox is anonymized. And it's also not like we're collecting this and like doing our thing with it, but all this data is public, and you can actually look at this exact graph if you click the link beneath the slides that I will upload after my talk. And yeah, I think not too many people are aware of that, so I just wanted to shout that out. But yeah, state of ECN, we can see that about 60% of connections are ECN capable. So this is promising, and it might be an indicator that it could be worthwhile actually optimizing what we do with ECN. And this optimization, alternative backup with ECN. So how it works right now is that ECN just triggers the same congestion event that loss also triggers, so the same reaction. But because ECN is an earlier signal, so ECN is saying there might be congestion happening soon, while loss is saying there's congestion, we could have a smaller decrease. And this would then make, if we have a smaller decrease, increase our average congestion window and lead through higher overall utilization. So this makes sense in theory. It looked good in some simulations. And quite honestly, it also wasn't that big an effort to implement this. So we implemented it. But again, it would be nice to know how does this behave and how does it look like in reality. And in this case, again, as usual, the higher level metrics too noisy. And lower level metrics, there were some that we could have looked at for this change, like for example, packet loss. We could have looked at how many ECN reactions there are. And the problem was that this got shipped together with other features that also could have influenced those things. So this makes it very hard to isolate this feature's impact. So while we're able to say that this didn't like wildly regress something, it's very hard to say that it like reason about actual impact apart from, yeah, it makes sense in theory. And then another thing, we wrote another probe, which is actually, which we didn't have before and now just recently added, which is checking how many of our congestion events are actually caused by ECN. And now, despite there being 60% capable paths, it's only like 3% of congestion events are caused by ECN. So if we knew that before, yeah, the impact of this feature is contained to just 3% of congestion events. So it also makes sense that we're not able to see anything in metrics. But then the question is, how do we fix this data problem? If we cannot see anything in the higher level metrics, how can we do anything about it? And how can we hopefully better prove that the stuff that we're doing had a big impact? One idea would be having more specialized metrics. So if the high level metrics are too noisy, then it might make sense to, for example, in the case of spurious congestion events, have like a built-in filter in metric collection. So for example, only collect throughput for connections that do at least see one spurious congestion event. So with that, we would hopefully have less noise and then maybe be able to say something along the lines of, yeah, we see this and this amount of throughput for connections that have spurious congestion, and those are this and this amount of connections. And that would be much easier understandable than, for example, all of the slides that I've shown you before, and would be a nice statement. One other thing that we could do is running A/B experiments, which is a great way to isolate features. But even though we have tools for this, and it still needs a lot of time to just instrument, have the extra code instrumentation to be able to run those experiments. It takes time to set up, it takes time to evaluate. And so even though it gives the most accurate signal, where it's always kind of a trade-off of time that is available. Having said that, what's next for congestion control in Firefox? And that's, at least for what I'm working on now, slow start exit. So quick reminder, slow start, the beginning of the connection where we exponentially ramp up. And now look at the problem with slow starts exit. So if we look at those graphs, again, we see this exponential ramp up in the beginning. And right now, slow start always just exits with loss. And because of this exponential ramp up, we can overshoot our actual ideal bandwidth by so much by the time that we get feedback from this loss that we actually have multiple losses right after slow start. And then if we're unlucky with those multiple losses, we land at a point where we're quite beneath the actual saturation point again, and then we have to very slowly ramp up again. So this all doesn't sound great, but because we had this before, is it actually worth optimizing? So I implemented a probe to check how many connections in Firefox actually do see a slow start exit. Because Firefox as a browser isn't necessarily sending like big amounts of data like a server would very often. But we often have very short connections. So intuitively, I thought this is like 5 or 10%, but as it turns out, it's actually 20% of connections that do see a slow start exit, and that, in my opinion, is then definitely worth optimizing around. So what we're doing is right now working on a research project to compare different slow start heuristics, for example, HiStart++, which is what, for example, TCP does, in Linux, and search, which is a newer algorithm that aim to exit slow start without having any packet loss by, for example, reasoning about RTT measurements or about act bytes. And of course, while doing that, you're going to take all of those learnings that we just talked about. So we're designing some specialized metrics and also in project planning already scheduling time for A/B experimentation. So hopefully we're going to get really nice data out of this and also maybe be able to publish those results in a paper and, for example, help advance emerging standards like search with some real-world data and help out the academic and scientific community in that way. So I'm personally very excited about that and looking forward to it. And yeah, who knows, maybe we'll talk about that next year. And with that, yeah, thank you for your attention. And if you do have any questions, I think I have like a minute left. Or also talk to me in the hallway. There's my mail and my matrix. And yeah, and reminder again, feel free to play with our data and also check out QBIS. Thank you.
Very cool. So I think we have time for question one or two, but maybe Floris, would you mind already getting set up during?
And I'll unplug myself here.
I was just curious, how many of these, are there toggles or switches for some of the features you were talking about today? Is it easy to, let's say, do a comparison as a consumer to say, hey, what about if we switch off some of these features?
For those, it's not super easy, sadly. This is part of the learnings. For the slow start, we're implementing like a pluggable framework where you can, for example, through a config, choose which algorithm you want to use. Yeah.
One more question.
So you talk about Cubic.
and optimization for Cubic. So are you looking at more modern alternative like BBR?
We're not planning to implement BBR, but with L4S slowly rolling out, we are, with our ECN capabilities, ready to at least echo ECN for L4S and be a receive path for L4S. But we're not planning to roll out BBR. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.